This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It has been a week, I'll tell you that. Right now, 45 degrees, going up to 65 today. 70% chance for rain tomorrow. Highs near 80 on this the day after Valentine's Day. Today, of course, Valentine's Day. Nice day to get out, have lunch, but I'd get there early and plan on taking more than an hour. Rainy Sunday, highs of 70, cools off Monday. And then they're talking maybe more freezing temperatures by next Thursday, which would make sense because I just took all of those little wrappy things off of the faucets. And if there was anything, Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, that would ensure another freezing night, it would be me taking the protection off of the pipes. How are you?
We're doing pretty good, but we're going to have a freezing night and freezing days for the next several weeks. So
let's see what New Hampshire's going to be like. As a matter of fact, I always like to play weather hold'em, I guess you can call it that, with Andy Smith. Let's see what New Hampshire's got coming up here since we have a couple of minutes. 18 degrees right now, feels like 5, going up to 29, 28. Snow tomorrow, right?
You bet. It's coming again.
And then coming again on Thursday. We had, you know, I told you this before, 8 inches of snow back in January. And God bless you, man. Keep it. You can have it. I guess you're used to it, though.
Yeah, if you've got trucks, if you have the trucks to take care of it, it's not so bad. Mm.
We had, we get some people occasionally that text in and say, why do you always talk about President Trump? And I mentioned this to you last time. It's because President Trump is always doing something with President Biden, and no disrespect, but you didn't know who was home, what was going on, what was happening, what was this, what was that. President Trump is a very proactive guy, making the most of his first couple of months and off weeks so far of in office. Where do you want to start, Andy? Because he's been pretty active.
Well, I think we have to keep an eye on the big picture. That's put in my political science hat. Is that the United States is really different than most countries in that we've had extreme separation of power purposefully to not let one person or one branch of government do all these different things. And we've relied on what John Adams called a government of laws, not a government of men. And I think we've mentioned this before, over the last 20, 30, 40 years, we've been increasingly going to a government of men and disregarding a government of laws. And that, to me, is a troubling problem with what Trump has been doing over the last 3 weeks.
Why is that we've gone from a government of laws to a government of people? And my own theory is that everybody is so concerned with being reelected, they don't want to do anything. So that leaves a vacuum of power. And then somebody like a President Trump can step in and start being a government of men. Accurate or not?
I think so. I think that's accurate. And it's also kind of built into our system. Our system is designed to be slow and messy. It forces compromise between people and parties and interests. It's not, and then policies are designed to be kind of there for a while and slowly change. It's not like Britain, where one party wins the parliament and then they clean out everything and they can do whatever they want. In the United States, you have to change those laws. And what we've been doing, or what we've seen the Trump administration doing, and the Biden administration before that, is, you know, essentially try to do things like closing agencies without changing the law that created that agency. You just can't do that under our system. But it's something that is, I think it's certainly visible. It raises a lot of fears among those people in Washington. It makes Trump supporters look like he's doing something there that he promised on the campaign trail. But whether or not any of this is going to survive the courts is going to be the thing to pay attention to.
My first clear memory of the executive order thing, and this might have to do with the job, I don't know, but is President Obama getting a little desk and sitting next to whatever it was, a little desk where he signs the executive orders, thinking the world was coming to an end, that we had a dictator here. The Republic is still around. That's not a partisan thing at all. That's just my first remembrance of it. But when it comes to presidents coming in office, sitting at that little desk, signing executive orders immediately, did it tip with Obama or did it start before that?
It started before that, and I think it's happened. Usually it was things that were not as controversial. You know, the ways that you interpret the president interprets the laws, selective enforcement or focused enforcement on some parts of laws, but not others. But in Obama's case, well, he famously said, I have a phone and a pen. I can do what I want despite losing Congress in 2010 and 2014. And Trump is doing the same sort of thing right now. He's, despite not having large majorities in Congress to pass any bills, he's just basically trying to change the government by executive order. And I think for the health of the country, that's not a good thing to do.
And I want you to drill down on that, because this is not about Democrat or Republican. It's not about Trump or Obama or Biden or Bush. Who do we have in between there? I miss one.
Trump, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But it's not about them. It's about the way the government is structured, and it's about, as we said, other people. Let me take a break for traffic here. We'll pick it up. We come back. I think that from what I've learned from you and other political scientists and reading, et cetera, that the country tends to swing one way or the other like a pendulum, and I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens in the midterms if the country swings the other way and takes exception to the executive orders and the way President Trump is running the government and reacts in the midterms, or maybe they don't. And I always tell people here in Louisiana, if you hate what President Trump is doing, well, you need to contact Steve Scalise and Mike Johnson and the people that are in the big leadership positions in the House. You need to contact John Kennedy. You need to contact.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill Cassidy, the senators. Conversely, if you love what he's doing, you need to contact Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise and the people with a lot of power in the House, or John Kennedy or Bill Cassidy, the senators from Louisiana, and let them know. But that's howling at the moon is not going to do any good, or just sending Facebook messages is not going to do any good. You want to make an impact, directly contact your representative. Maybe it'll help, maybe it won't, but it's better than a Facebook text or post or whatever you do. 621 traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our good friend Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center, talking about President Trump's first month in office. Andy, for those that are texting me now through a very partisan prism, whether it's Democrat or Republican, and surprise, people do that these days. Talk about the health, or the Constitution, the country. Any concerns you have as a political scientist about the future of the country, whether it's Democratic or Republican, about a president having too much power, whether it's your guy, a woman, or not. And also about the pendulum that I referred to earlier as it relates to the country tending to react one way and then swing back the other.
Well, going to the second point first, eventually the Democrats will be in control and Republicans will be subject to what they did. The precedent that's going on now under the Trump administration will be used by Democrats to implement things that may be unconstitutional or maybe things that Republicans don't like when they gain power again. My expectation almost, but my prediction, I guess, is that Democrats will do very well in the midterms in 2020 and likely take one, if not both, branches of Congress. And then what happens? You know, do they start passing laws and pushing back? Well, the idea... Our government was founded with the fear of creating a powerful executive. The whole Federalist Papers were really written to get around some of those problems of what are we going to do by creating this powerful quasi-king. And the authors of the Federalist Papers, particularly James Madison, talk about ways of constraining that power. By reducing the ability for one person to manipulate that power. And that's what's held the country together. But it's always been the willingness for people to agree that those are the norms. Those are the bounds of the eight offices that we have there. I'm fearful that in recent decades, and not just in the Trump and Biden years, but recent decades, we've been more and more willing to cede more power to the presidency, cede more power to the bureaucracy, because that's what the presidency is. It's the executive branch, and making that government then less responsive to the people of the country.
And look, I'm not trying to pick one side or the other, but I remember clearly President Obama telling either the Congress or the reporters, whomever it was, a couple of days after the look, I won the election. I remember him saying that. And it seems as though now, going back to what you're saying about the fears of the founding fathers creating a king, it seems as though now the country is so hell-bent on winning. If their person gets in, then they think that that person does speak for everybody in the country, or that the people that didn't vote for that person doesn't have any voice. And that's not how the country was supposed to work, is it?
No, it wasn't supposed to work that way at all. But there's been a lot of other things that have occurred over the last couple hundred years, really over the last 100 years, that have increased the power of what the federal government department is allowed to do. So I'm sympathetic with people saying, well, we should get rid of the Department of Education, because frankly, if you look at a straight reading of the Constitution, there is nothing in the Constitution that says anything about supporting education. And the Ninth and Tenth Amendment would say that if it's not specifically in the Constitution, the federal government doesn't have that power. However, the one power the federal government has is the power to print money.
Yep.
And that goes a long way when it comes to convincing the states to give up their power, their realms of power, to the federal government, as long as they're getting some money out of it. So I think that's a big problem, is that everybody looks the other way. And as the old saw in politics is, if somebody says it's not about the money, it's about the money.
It is about the money. Not only that, but when it comes to not only campaign contributions and spending and lobbyists, but when it comes to the federal government spending money, because that gets delivered to the states, and then the elected state officials get to say, or the federal officials from the state get to say, look what I brought home, because the other states are looking at it as pork, but in your state you're looking at it as bacon. And there's another shoe, I think, that's going to fall with that, with the cuts that President Trump and Elon Musk are proposing, because eventually that's going to hit the states hard. And I'm already hearing pushback from that here in Louisiana from Republican leaders who are saying, well, hang on a second, now that's going to hurt us.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
All right. Thank you, Andy Smith. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the snow. Andy Smith, director of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center. Speaking of snow, a lot of snow jobs going on when it comes to what's Louisiana shrimp and what's not. We'll talk to Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator, about that. When we come back, right now, time for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Valentine's Day 2025. I hope you have a very nice one. Pat Connick joins us now, Louisiana State Senator. Talk about this testing of Louisiana seafood and what can be done to put some teeth in the law. How you doing, Pat?
Good morning, Tommy. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, sir. Thanks for being available. And I'll ease you into this by asking you, I got my class reunion coming up. I'm not going to name what number it is, but do you go to class reunions or not?
I do. I think I'm like approaching 40 or 50. I forget, you know.
I got my 25th coming up. I don't know whether I should go or not.
You better double that, maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. But it's amazing how quickly time flies, and you don't know. You got any special plans with the missus for Valentine's Day today?
Just hang out with the grandkids for a little bit and just maybe go get something to eat. So take it easy.
So you make it a family kind of thing with Valentine's Day. That's what we used to do as well. I think that's the best
way. That's what it should be.
Well, I hope when you go out to get something to eat, you get some Louisiana shrimp, and they had some testing that went on February 3rd. 1 in 3 restaurants passing off what was supposed to be Gulf shrimp that they tested by DNA, and come to find out they weren't Louisiana shrimp. Tell me about the laws that you guys put into place, Pat, to avoid this kind of thing, and are you facing any pushback or anything on these laws?
Yeah, I think there's a story on Fox 8, Meg Ganter did a great job. They did some testing before the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and they tested 25 restaurants. Mm-hmm. And the good news, they found 23 of the 25 restaurants were serving Gulf shrimp as advertised. The law that we put in place, we work with the Restaurant Association to make sure your labeling shows where your shrimp is coming from. If you're selling shrimp from India, Ecuador, Indonesia, it's got to be on the label. But it looks like the law is working, and the restaurants are following the law as written. The pushback is coming from the retailers. When you go into the grocery stores, if you go buy some frozen shrimp or some frozen crawfish, we have a law that requires the labeling be put on that from where the shrimp are from. And there's some pushback coming from some distributors saying that it's not unconstitutional, but we're going to be pushing back and trying to look at that issue and force them to do what they need to do.
So you're not saying they can't import them. You're just saying they have to label them, right? Did I get that right?
Exactly. You know, in the past, when you go to the store, you see labels of the Cajun Bayous and the Bonture, whatever. And when you look at the back, you think they're coming from Louisiana. The shrimp and the seafood is coming from Louisiana. When you look at the back of the label, in the barely small corner of the package, you see a product of China. And that's deceptive trade practices in my book. Now, we cannot stop these importers and distributors from selling foreign shrimp. That's a commerce clause as part of the Constitution. But it's we can make them label to, and let people know where the shrimp is coming from. The law that was written was narrowly drawn to not mess with the commerce clause. But, you know, it's going to be a battle. It looks that way. But I'm working with the Department of Ag and seeing what needs to be done. But there's some pushback from the distributors on this law.
Distributors in Louisiana or all over?
In Louisiana, and those who distribute, they package in Texas and Houston, and they ship into Louisiana. Any distributor who has shipments coming from foreign countries of shrimp and seafood, they're looking to fight the law.
So, from the federal standpoint, tariffs, or can the state lobby tariffs, or does that have to be federal on foreign shrimp and foreign seafood?
No, this has to come from the federal level. You know, Louisiana can't control what's coming into the country. It's you know, we have low prices of shrimp right now. We have low landings. And I'm looking at some documents that shows in June of 2023, landings in the Gulf of Mexico were the lowest in 22 years. And then you have countries subsidizing their shrimp exports. No tariffs on shrimps coming in. And it's the imported shrimp is cheaper than domestic shrimp. And that's the problem. You have these cheap imports coming in. Our warehouses are being filled up with frozen seafood. And when our shrimpers go out and they shrimp, they catch their catch, there's no place to put them. So they either got to go on the streets and sell them for $3 a pound or go to the dock and sell them for $1 a pound. But they can't make any money at $1 a pound. And so that's why we need tariffs put on these. If we put it on steel, let's put it on shrimp. And I think there was a request yesterday by one of the congressmen from Louisiana to make that happen.
Yeah, let me take a break, and I want to pick it up there when we come back because, you know, back in the day, and this was before my time with Hale Boggs and Alan Allender and F. Edward Hebert, there's a reason Louisiana got so many federal bases, so many military bases, got the Saints, for one thing, got a lot of other special consideration. We got some pretty highly placed representatives with the Speaker of the House and Majority Leader in the House. I don't know how that's being parlayed or if it can be parlayed in the seafood tariffs, but it would seem as though if ever it's going to happen, now's the time. I want to talk to you about that. And I almost also want to talk to you about the existential threat that this poses to the Louisiana shrimping industry and the culture and the way of life here, because I think once it's gone, it's gone, and it's not coming back. Then you have to depend on foreign seafood, and if we had trouble with Chinese sheetrock, I don't know why people would want to eat this stuff. 6:50, 10 till 7. We talked to our good friend, Louisiana State Senator Pat Connick. He's gone to the mat to try to get this truth in labeling seafood thing done, try to get people to stop selling foreign seafood as Louisiana. He's getting pushback. We'll continue the conversation when we come back. 6:51, 9 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with our friend Pat Connick, Louisiana State Senator, talking about labeling of foreign seafood as Gulf and seafood. And Pat, when you're talking about Gulf seafood, you're talking about Louisiana, or are you talking about the Gulf of, well, I started to say Mexico, Gulf of America?
Yeah, the Gulf of America, Gulf of Mexico. You know, the key is these packaging, the packages of the seafood has to show the country of origin label. So the consumer has a choice. Okay, do I want the cheaper seafood coming from India, that's cheaper shrimp from India, or do I want the more expensive shrimp from the United States that tastes better, that doesn't have antibiotics in it? That's what the law is designed to do. Just be truthful and don't put the Louisiana bayous and our culture and heritage on your packaging and then in a small print show a product of China. That's wrong. And I think you know, the courts are going to look at this and say that the law was narrowly drawn. And, you know, just we got to give the people the choice, but we got to inform the people of what choice to make. So, and that's the whole purpose of the law. But when you go to your stores and you go into the frozen sections where you need shrimp, read the labeling. Look closely at the back. We're trying to get the labeling bigger and more clearer, and they're fighting us on that. And there's a reason for that, because they're making a lot of money on the backs of our shrimpers.
I think it was Mike Strain told us that, you know, the first tip-off should be when you see crawfish with a shrimp boat on the front. That should tell you right away that something's not right. When it comes to existential threat to the let me take a step back. Louisiana's got a lot of power right now. Pat, in Washington with Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise, has there been any attempt to reach out to them, and are they working on this? Do you know? Because they got the president's ear, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I sent a text to Senator Kennedy, who's a good friend of mine, during the week. I said, can we put tariffs on shrimp? His response was maybe. And I think they're cautious because if they put the tariffs on, the price is going to skyrocket for everybody, and it's going to hurt the consumer. But that, another story coming is, if they want to import, let them import, but don't label it falsely that it's from Louisiana, or be deceptive that it's from Louisiana, from the Gulf. That's what we're trying to change. So to give the consumers a choice of whether U.S. shrimp or foreign shrimp.
But still, it would seem that, you know, the price point's maybe going to win out. I don't know, but if you're going to tariff, and I guess this goes to the issue of tariffs in general, that it's going to raise the prices if you tariff something, right? And then at that point, Louisiana people would have a choice their only choice would be to get Louisiana seafood. How much would that raise the price? If there were tariffs on Chinese seafood, how much would it raise the price of shrimp? Do you know?
It would probably make the U.S. shrimp cost now equal it would make the imports price higher and equal to what the price of the U.S. shrimp is now. So it may be a good thing. I'm sure they're going to study that, and if it's something that fits, let's impose it.
And consumers have the price of buying Louisiana seafood, a choice of buying Louisiana seafood now at a higher price if they want?
Yeah, because it's cost more for our shrimpers to go out and catch. And I'll give you the reason why. The other countries subsidize their seafood. It's farm-raised in bins. It's easy to catch, and it's nasty stuff. I mean, they put chemicals in this water so the shrimp won't die. And then they package it, freeze it, and send it over. If you go to Oswego in the shrimp lot, they sell foreign shrimp. They sell shrimp there. A lot of it, most of it, is all U.S. shrimp. Those shrimp are from Lafitte and Grand Isle. But there's a factory back there that's filled with Chinese crawfish and foreign imports.
We'll keep an eye out for it. Thank you, Pat.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.